Why are you coming? Let me hear you again. Poor People's Campaign. Oh, say what? Poor People's Campaign? Poor People's Campaign. That's right. Everybody keep coming in. Keep coming in. Coming. Why are you coming? Let me hear you again. Poor People's Campaign. Coming. Why are you coming? Let me hear you again. Poor People's Campaign. Oh, say what? Poor People's Campaign? Poor People's Campaign. That's right. Everybody keep coming in. Keep coming in. So this week, hold up your signs. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so this week, we're coming to say that everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. That's not excluding anybody. Everybody's got a right to live. So can we raise our voices on that song? Can we do that?
Put your sign down. Thank you.
The song is Everybody's Got a Right to Live. Here we go. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to live. Let me hear you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails,
do you mean it?
Everybody's got a right to live.
Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to, everybody's got a right to love.
Everybody's got a right to love. Everybody's got a right to love.
And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to, everybody's got a right to learn. One more time and lift your voices. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. Everybody's got a right to
today. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready to stand up?
Yeah.
Are you ready to cry loud?
Yeah.
Are you ready to sing out?
Yeah.
Good. Because we need a lot of that. So I am Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris. I am the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. And I am honored to be with y'all today. I have a couple of announcements, and then we're going to get started. If you need Spanish translation, please come to this side of the stage, because we have simultaneous translation taking place. So if you need Spanish translation, please come to the side of the stage.
Buenas tardes. Si quieren escuchar traducción en español, por favor pasen aquí a este lado. Les vamos a dar indicaciones sobre cómo llamar para escuchar la traducción simultánea por su celular.
All right. So thank you so much to our Spanish translators. We want everyone to be included in this movement and in this action and in this rally today. So we are here. We are poor. We are low-wage workers. We are homeless. We are going to schools that have become resegregated, underfunded, attacked. We are parents of school of students that are in those schools. And we are here to say that everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to learn. Everybody has a right to love. Everybody has a right to form and join unions. Everybody has a right to organize. Everybody has a right to live. We are living in a country that has 140 million poor and low-income people. That is 43.5% of the U.S. population. 80% of us, at some point in our lives, will not be able to make ends meet. That is not right. That is not just. And we're going to change all of that. We are here because we're going to win labor rights. We are here because we're going to win living wages. We are here because we're going to win housing rights and equitable education and the right to thrive, not just barely survive. We're gathered here in Washington, D.C., and we are a mighty group today. And we know that we are joined in almost 40 state capitals across this country. Historians are saying that for the past 5 weeks, we have engaged in the most expansive, the largest wave of nonviolent civil disobedience in the 21st century. So let's give it up for us, because we are part of a movement that is standing against systemic racism, a movement that is standing against systemic poverty, a movement that is standing against ecological devastation, a movement that is standing against this war economy and militarism, a movement that says that a distorted moral narrative that claims that we, the poor, are to blame for our poverty, that claims that we need to fight each other instead of come together and unite together and fight, that and a moral narrative that says that there is not enough to go around when we are living in abundance, when we are living in a world that has enough for everyone. So we are here not just to make a lot of noise, not just to mess things up, but because we think that this nation and this world has to stop in its tracks and pay attention to what's really going on. Yeah. And so one of the things that we do at each one of these rallies is talk about the truth. So we all believe that everybody has a right to live. But did you know that there are 23.4 million black people who are poor in this country? There are 37.6 million Latinx people who are poor in this country. There are 7.8 million Asian people who are poor in this country. There are 66.2 million white people who are poor in this country. Did you know that in 2016, there was not a state or county in this country where someone earning the federal minimum wage could afford a two-bedroom apartment? There was not one state
There was not one county in this country where people making minimum wage could afford a two-bedroom apartment. Everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to live. Say it with me. Everybody has a right to live. But did you know that there are up to 3.5 million people who are living in shelters and transitional housing units and tent cities in this rich country? It takes only 45 minutes to build a prefab house. But there are 3.5 million people living in shelters and tent cities. Did you know that only 2 out of 10 poor people actually get to receive social service TANF benefits? And that up to 40% of homeless youth are LGBTQIA. Everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to learn. But did you know that more than half of kids attending public schools in this country are poor? That the schools are resegregating? That the schools are losing their funding? Cutting their music and art and sports programs? And did you know that in many urban and rural communities, it is more likely that young people will go to jail than graduate from high school? Everybody has a right to live.
Yes, they do.
Everybody has a right to learn. But did you know that students in this country owe more than $1.3 trillion in debt? $1.3 trillion. How is anybody going to pay that back? How can anyone afford that? So everybody has a right to live. 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 So did you know that the bottom 90% of Americans hold 70% of the debt in this country? That 1 in 5 households owes more to the bank than they own? And did you know that 3 individuals have the same amount of wealth as 50% of the U.S. population? We refuse the lie that there is scarcity. We refuse the lie that you can't raise wages. We refuse the lie that you can't house everyone. We refuse the lie that our kids don't need quality education. We refuse the lie that we shouldn't organize. We refuse the lie that anybody's life isn't worth it. That anybody's life isn't worth it. And so therefore, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, has come up with a series of demands. And I want you to say those demands after I say them. We demand an immediate implementation of federal and state living wage laws. We demand the right for all workers to form and join unions. We demand equal pay for equal work. We demand a guaranteed annual income. We demand fully funded, fully funded, fully funded anti-poverty programs that protects the welfare of us all. We demand decent.
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 Housing.
Housing.
We demand free tuition. We demand free tuition. We demand equity in education.
We demand an end to the resegregation of schools.
We demand equitable
funding
for historically black colleges and universities.
We demand
relief from crushing household, student, and consumer debt.
We demand
the repeal,
the repeal,
the repeal
of the 2017 federal tax law.
And we demand
that the wealthy
and corporations
pay their fair share.
We believe that we can win.
We believe
that we can win.
We believe
that we can win.
We believe
that everybody,
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 everybody
has a right,
has a right,
has a right,
has a right
to live,
to live,
to live,
to live.
All right.
So I want to pass it to the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign on National Call for Moral Revival, the Reverend Dr. William Barber.
Hello, everybody. Forward together. Say, rain or shine, I got justice on my mind. Rain or shine, I've got justice on my mind. And because we have justice on our mind, and the most important thing at the Poor People's Campaign, a National Call for Moral Revival stages, is that the people speak who are impacted, because we want to put a face on the facts. Say a face
on the facts.
So I'm going to hold my comments until we get ready to make our move today in moral nonviolent fusion civil disobedience. But we got some two-minute powerful speakers that are coming. Sarah Harris from CWA Local 6450 from Kansas City, Missouri. Then we got my main man, Eric Winston from the Fight for 15. Then I think 32BJ, we've got Catrice Johnson. Am I right? Am I right? And then where's y'all at? Where's y'all? Where's the music folk? Right in the middle of that, we're going to hit a little bit of give the people what they want. Because you don't ever fight not have some joy while you're fighting. Touch somebody and say, don't trust them if they can't dance while they're going to jail. Don't trust them. Yeah. Then we're going to have Valerie Jean from the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. Then we're going to have Pamela Rush from Lyles County, Alabama. And then we're going to have my sister Amy Jo Hutchinson from West Virginia. And then we're going to have Angie Whitehurst from 1 D.C. And then our moral leaders are going to be Rabbi Lucy Denner from Raleigh, Cashmere Brown, our dear moral sister, who's a new repairs intern from Yale. And then we're going to have John Armstead from United Local 23. Now, I'm probably the last one that ought to talk about time, right? But we are going to talk about time today, so I'm going to ask them, the first group, to all come up at one time, and then we're going to give everybody 2 minutes, because that means you want to go right at the heart of it and tell us why it is important from your perspective that we stand together. Would you start it off, Sarah?
and good afternoon. My name is Sarah Harrius, and I work at AT&T in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm one of 14,000 fighting for a fair contract at AT&T. AT&T made $30 billion last year. Can you believe that even with the money that they got from the tax cut, AT&T is insisting that we pay even more for health care? That ain't right. It's a shame. The reality is the big corporations like AT&T have gotten too big, too greedy, and instead of making our economy stronger, they're pushing people into poverty. These corporations are working with politicians to rig the economy so that they benefit at the expense of everyone else. As you may have remembered, AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson spent a lot of lobbying dollars to make sure Congress tax bills gave big, permanent tax cuts to corporations. He promised to invest billions of dollars. He promised to create 7,000 new jobs. And so the bill passed. And AT&T got a $20 billion tax cut. But instead, it's a shame. But instead of keeping his promise, something we all know that AT&T has the power and the money to do, he chose to lay off our coworkers, to close call centers across the country. That's not right. And so together in our union, we're fighting back. And it is because of our union we're able to fight back. We're making sure that the bargaining table at the ballot and the ballot box, we're holding AT&T and the politicians who enable its greed accountable. Our brothers and sisters are here with us in the fight and to unrig our economy and democracy. Over at American Airline Passenger Services, agents for Envoy Air and Piedmont subsidiaries are mobilizing coast to coast to fight poverty wages. A recent survey found Envoy agents are often forced to take extreme measures like borrowing for their retirement accounts, selling plasma, buying expired food to cover their everyday living wages. So I stand here today to honor the legacy and demanding politicians and corporate interests to stop rigging our country and instead put the workers and communities first.
That's right. That's
thank
right.
you.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Eric, everybody come up. They're speaking on this first group. All right.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Winston. I'm the leader in the Durham chapter for the Fight for 15. I'm proud to be here today to take a stand with the Poor People's Campaign. I'm a second-generation fast food worker, and I've experienced the cycle of poverty firsthand. Growing up, I watched my mother endure long hours of back-breaking labor, doing everything she could to feed me and my sisters. Now at 39 years old, it's my turn to care for my mother and my children of my own. My employer, which is Carolina Ale House, barely pays me enough to pay rent and utilities, let alone with the medical expenses with my mother. That's why we need a movement to fight for change for the 140 million people living in poverty today. As a leader in the Fight for 15, I've seen how workers come together, speaking out, can change the politics of this country. Since our campaign began, we've won wage increases for 22 million people and counting. But unless workers like me can win a union, corporations and politicians will continue to rig the system, and workers will fall behind no matter how hard we work. Whether white, black, or brown, we all want to build a better future for our children. That's why workers in the Fight for 15 are joining the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for more revival by bringing these two movements together, and we will be unstoppable. I cannot and will not stay silent any longer while politicians and corporations attack working people like me and block our right to organize. So with that being said, forward together.
No one step back.
Forward together.
No one step back.
Thank you very much.
Say no more,
no more.
Treating people
like things
and corporations.
Like people.
Great, great. Mike, man, turn this mic up a little bit so everybody can hear us. We have, look, anybody that's parked at the church, they just said they may be doing some towing. It's only a few people. Just come over here and Shally, we'll see you at this time. At this time, we want Catrice Johnson to come with 32BJ.
BJ, Sunday. Good afternoon. My name is Catrice Johnson. I work at Ronald Reagan Airport. I'm an airport cleaner for MBS. Most of you may know it's Metropolitan Building Services. And we fought for a contract to be able to get better wages, to be able to get benefits like health insurance and other many things that we had that we didn't have before out of the airport. And we won our contract. But I'm not just here for MBS. I'm here for Huntley because they are our brothers and sisters. And just like this lovely lady that's standing next to me, they have nothing. And they're fighting. They've been fighting for a wage increase for $15 an hour, to be able to get health insurance, to make sure that they're not just, you know, getting fired for unjustly causes and the boss is just saying, we'll get rid of them and bring someone else on that'll still work and won't complain. And the things that keep going on and so forth at the airport. And I'm proud to be a 32BJ member because it's given not just me a chance to have a voice and fight for the people I work with, but it's also given me a chance to fight for other workers who are living paycheck to paycheck, who's trying to make ends meet and not knowing whether or not they'll be able to put food on the table, clothes on their back, or be able to afford the everyday cost of living that goes on in Washington, D.C. today. So I stand up here with the Poor People's Campaign and to tell everyone, be the change you want to be and stand for something, because if you don't, you'll fall for everything. Thank you.
Somebody say, we are begging.
We are demanding.
The right time to do right is now. And before this campaign fails, we'll all go down to jail. All right, all right, all right. McDonald Darris is coming. And also Jody Armstead from United 23. Would you all come up together?
Good afternoon. I bring you greetings from our local UFCW 1994. When we talk about building a strong community, we have to include everyone first. 10 years ago, I began working for the Silver Spring Urban District as a temporary employee. Many of my co-workers, including myself, felt later to be assurance of stability between inconsistency schedule and no health insurance as a temporary employee. We work 10, 40 hours every year without any form of benefits. So we have come today to stand with you in the poor rally to say that everyone, regardless of race, ethnicity, or cultural background, that they are entitled to the benefits that being employed and being part of this great nation, that we as a people must be entitled to. So we have come to our nation's capital to say enough is enough. We have come to our nation's capital to say that everyone must be entitled to have a job and a living wage. We have come today to stand strong with you to say enough is enough. We either stand together or fall apart. So henceforth, as I say to you now as I leave this mic, that we must not give up the fight.
That's right.
We must not lay down our tools to work. But we must say to every politician that you either support us, you either create jobs, or we vote you out. Thank you.
That's right. Somebody say, everybody's got a right to live. Now, you notice some language you haven't heard around here. You haven't heard us only talk about the middle class. That's the problem. We got to talk about the poor and the working poor
And if the working poor and the poor are lifted, the middle class is lifted. And we've got to stop using in this city working class as a racial code word for white folk. When in fact they're working class black folk, and they're working class white people, and they're working class brown people, and they all are making too little. We got to change the language. This is not about left. This is not about right. This is not about conservative. This is not about liberal. This is about doing what is right and what's morally right. Now, one thing that too often doesn't happen in this town is people don't listen to each other, right? They don't listen to you. So I want to ask everybody to my right that's talking and everybody to my left is talking, if we can't practice listening out here, then our ethics are off for demanding that the politicians listen over there. So if you're to the right or anywhere else, tell people around you, check yourself, mic check, mic check. I need everybody to kind of listen to the people at this podium. We have to demand respect among ourselves first. Is that right? Is that right? All right, at this time, we want Jody Amistad to come, United Local 23.
Jody, good afternoon, brothers, sisters, comrades. To correct the good reverend, my name is Josh Armstead. You're fine. I'm the vice president of Unite Here Local 23 for the DMV. I'm also, more importantly, a shop steward for Georgetown University, a strong union shop. I've lived here in D.C. all my life. It is expensive to be poor in the nation's capital. It is something that you cannot live with, and I'm glad I got into a union because now I'm able to actually see the benefits of standing together and actually being able to inspire others to stand together. But I want to talk a little bit about, since I know I'm under a bit of a pressure check, is right to work, or the so-called right to work, and its racist history, and the fact that it is meant to destroy working class solidarity, black folks, white folks, Asians, whoever you are, it is meant to take away your collective power. And the Supreme Court is about to vote and give a verdict on this thing, on Janice. Boo, exactly, boo. Boo. We know it's history. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you something so offensive of what the right wing in this country is banking on to destroy our collective power. From Vance Mews, a rich oil tycoon, quote, from now on, white women and white men will be forced into organizations with black African apes whom they will have to call brother or lose their jobs. Said in 1936, is this America?
No.
Is this what we're fighting for?
No.
We want equality. Today, working class Americans are awaiting the verdict from Janice, a case that has been funded by today's billionaires to destroy us. But brothers and sisters, I say to you that the working class in America will not be defeated. We will continue to organize. We will continue to gain strength. That is not the end of American labor. Thank you.
Somebody say with me, let's change the name. Let's don't call them the right ring, let's call them the wrong ring. You see what I'm saying? Don't use that language. Don't use that language. We're right, because we're standing for justice. Tell your neighbor, I'm on the right wing, because I'm standing for justice. And I got two wings, a left wing and a right wing. You see what I'm saying? Let's change the language. Somebody say, change the language. Now, how many of you understand how the Supreme Court justices get on the court? They get what? Nominated by who? And then they get what? By the Senate. How do senators get into office? So you understand why voting suppression is a labor issue?
Yes.
Voter suppression is not just a black issue, it's a labor issue, it's a poor people's issue. Because if you suppress the vote, you undermine the ability to elect people, and if you undermine the ability to elect people, you get people elected that will give you a regressive Supreme Court. So you can't separate voting rights from labor rights. It's not that the black folk over here fight for voting rights and the white folk over here fight for labor rights. We all better be fighting for all of our rights, every one of them. That's why in this movement, we always take a little break and say, give the people what they want. Oh, y'all ought to act like you're ready to go to jail. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, CWA. Come on, CWA. Come on, come on.
no more lies.
We want the truth and no more lies.
We want freedom, justice, and equality.
We want freedom, justice, and equality. Somebody scream! Now I want to bring Amy Jo Hutchinson from West Virginia and Andrew Whitehurst from 1 DC to come to the mic at this time.
I don't have a song. I feel like I was framed, Dr. Barber. So, my name is Amy Jo, and I'm from West Virginia. Yeah. West Virginia, we have one of the nation's highest poverty rates. And I just want to echo with something that Liz said in the beginning. My children, I have two daughters in West Virginia. My daughters have a greater chance of dying from a drug overdose than they do from graduating from high school. It is a shame. Highlight on. So my mom was widowed in the 70s, and if there was one song in my childhood that kept playing all the time, it was Get an Education, Amy Jo. Get an education because you shouldn't have to work this hard. I don't want you to have to work.
And yet we have students testifying that that their science textbooks were printed in 1984. And I'm receiving pictures because I'm an organizer from students whose textbooks are falling apart because they were printed in 2006. And these are the very same students that we are trying to prepare to take the ACT and the SAT test so they can get those educations and they can lift themselves out of poverty, which feels like quicksand every day of their lives. So last year we thought we saw a glimmer of hope in the Mountain State because some of our lawmakers, they introduced a bill where free two-year college would be free. And we thought this would really be a great opportunity for the working poor and for the poor people to get an education. And then they added that little caveat that in order to qualify, you had to be drug tested. Because here we go once again in this punitive educational system, and we as poor people have to prove ourselves worthy to receive an equitable education. Yes, it is a shame because once again we're made to feel like it's not the system's fault, that we're doing something wrong to be in this situation. So a friend of mine reminded me
this morning, Amy Jo talked about Amy Jo talked about the non-traditional students in West Virginia, because when you guys hear West Virginia and colleges, you're probably thinking of West Virginia University because we're all Mountaineers, or Marshall University. These schools are often listed on sites as being one of the top 10 party schools in the nation, but I want to talk to you about the non-traditional West Virginia students who find themselves there.
I want everyone here to think for a minute about the poor West Virginia students who were at these colleges who have seen a tuition increase over the past 15 years from 120 to 140% for in-state tuition. I want you to take just a minute and think about the West Virginia students who have to visit the food pantries on campus, and that there is a reason for there to be food pantries on college campuses in West Virginia.
Dr. King said the function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character, that's the goal of true education. So it's time for us to push back against the education system, demand equity, and demand that those making the calls within this system prove to us how smart they are. Thank you.
All right. We want to, how many of you are saying, rain or shine, I got justice on my mind. I need Valerie Jean from the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization to come, and I need her to stand with Angie Whitehurst. I need both of them to come at this time, and we want to wear the, here they, all right, give them a hand.
Thank you. Michigan is surrounded by 20% of the world's fresh water, yet many of us don't have access to it. In Detroit, water simply isn't affordable. I live in a neighborhood that had its water shut off all at one time in a 45-minute period of time because none of us could afford the rising water bills. My neighbor was without water for 11 days. She never recovered, and she died last year. I live in a neighborhood that has experienced mass tax foreclosures followed by water shutoffs, and And tens of thousands of people were displaced because of it. There's this narrative being sold that Detroit's on the comeback, but I beg the question for who? Because if we don't have access to affordable water, education, health care, if we don't have access to our basic needs, then it's not certainly not coming back for us. It's obvious that it's not coming back to us because our education dollars, our money went to, that was supposed to go to school, was given to billionaires to build arenas. The money that was the hardest hit funds from the federal government that was given to the city to help people stay in their homes, that money was then turned over to contractors to demolish the homes. It's clear that people that live here, that have lived there for all of their lives and nurtured this beloved city, just aren't wanted anymore. The people of Flint are paying some of the highest water bills in the nation for water they can't do anything with but flush their toilets. Recently, the Michigan government decided to close the water pods throughout the city that provided bottled water for people, stating that there was no need for it. Flint is fine. The water is fine. America needs to know that Flint won't be fine and the water won't be fine until all of the rotten pipes have been replaced. People have died and gone through horrible diseases and they've lost their babies. This is why we need a poor people's campaign. We're putting the people who think they are in charge on notice. There's more of us than there are of you, and we won't be silent anymore.
All right, I have to go fast. I'm going to read a poem about a man named Connell. He was homeless, he was incarcerated, he was released, and like we have in D.C. now, more than 6,000 people who are homeless, and we know that 1% of our $14.2 billion budget could take care and solve the house and homeless problem in America. Right. Not only that, but homelessness can happen to anyone. You can be rich, poor, regardless of race, color, or creed. You can be divorced, separated. Domestic violence, which is the number one cause for women being homeless. You can get sick. You can be mentally ill. All kinds of things can happen to you. Natural disasters, coups, you name it. Think about it anytime. But I'm going to read you this poem about Connell, who died. And yet again, we meet and stand here. Seated in the joy of remembrance, and in a mournful sorrow of a presence of a treasure gone. Because we know, because we care. How much longer do we holler, yell, and scream? Another human being has died. His value and his dream immorally defied. To all of us here who respect all life, we ask not how he died, but why. To others, he was a statistic and a line item detailed in the budget with a name and a number, waiting, registered, and certified in timeless limbo to be served. Tagged, unemployed, homeless, ill, societally displaced, and now scratched off the list, deleted and filed away. Just some data saved for researchers baling hay. Never mind, we have no place to stay, no place to protect the fragile shell called his body, mind, and skin. He needed more than an emergency room stabilization to live and invisibly blend in, while waiting for the red tape to self-destruct and end. He resourcefully searched for food to practice his joy as a chef. Yes, he was a great cook. Too bad we'll never see the Bible of his cookbook. His patience and waiting paid off in time. By the time he passed away, in fact, the next day he was notified. The voucher was approved, and all was good. There was just one problem with the red tape. It was 24 hours too late. Rest in peace, my brother. End homeless knots. It does not belong in a human place. And we shall not be moved.
That's right. So end homelessness. We have to do that. We have to recognize how it hurts the LGBTQ community. It has too many communities of black and white and children. And how it all turns back and comes back to this immoral construct that some people matter and others don't. I'm going to do this one more time and ask everybody to decide to move in front. I'm just real serious about listening to people when they're pouring out their pain. And I don't want, I mean, I'm real serious about that, and I hope you all are. So if you're to my side behind the stage, come on and move in, because you can't chastise the politicians if at our own rallies, everybody's not paying attention. And so unless there's an emergency, you should either be listening or cheering somebody on. Unless you got an emergency, you've got to talk. Please, please, if you would, please, if you would. Because this is not a fellowship. This is not a game. 250,000 people die every year from poverty. Tens of thousands die from the lack of health insurance. And we have Attorney General now who will not defend voting rights and will not defend health insurance. You heard somebody just say women are abused. Abuse is now considered a pre-existing condition. So you have Attorney General who's saying, I'm not going to support a law that guarantees people with pre-existing condition health care, which means a woman who's abused could be denied health care. Touch three people and say, this is serious business. That's right. That's why we didn't ask everybody to join the Poor People's Campaign. We asked those that know this is serious business. And it's not about the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. It's about the very soul and heart of this nation. And we can't leave out Puerto Rico. And what has been done to Puerto Rico over the years, and now more than 4,000 people dead. And so we have a sister here. 1 minute is too short. She was here last week. But we want folk to know that our concern for the poor are not just those in the continental United States. But we are concerned, and we will fight for all of those who are suffering because of this cultic commitment to greed and racism. Come on, my dear sister.
My name is Reverend Damaris Whitaker. I'm the senior minister for Washington Collegiate Church in New York City. And I stand today in solidarity with the Poor People's Campaign, declaring that everybody has a right to live. Everybody has a right to live, including the American citizens in Puerto Rico. Friends, approximately 300,000 Puerto Ricans had left the island before Hurricane Maria. Following the storm, 179,000 left because there were not enough jobs, housing, clean water. We are in an education crisis as well. More than 266 schools have been closed. And we hear the numbers about what you don't know, but I know, because I have been there walking the streets and going into the schools, is that the most vulnerable children, those who have, that are hearing impaired, those who have physical needs, those who are physically challenged, they are the ones left without a contingency plan for their education. I am here standing saying to you that everyone has the right to live, including the people in Puerto Rico. What we are witnessing in Puerto Rico is a crisis capitalism which is advancing an agenda of privatization and austerity. When they're closing the schools, they're giving vouchers and creating charter schools instead. They are walking and leaving away the children who are poor in the mountains without the right services. They're walking away and leaving people in Puerto Rico without jobs. Did you know that Puerto Ricans get paid sometimes $20 a day after the storm? So I'm standing here today to say to you that everyone has the right to live. Everyone has the right to fair wages. Everyone has the right to quality education, including the American citizens in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Yeah. Say everybody. Now we have two moral leaders, a young intern from Yale who's come to be with, and Rabbi Lucy Denner, who's my great friend. And they're going to come in quick session to give us a moral foundation for why we, in just about 5 minutes, we'll begin to make our way for our 3 o'clock action. Kashmir, Rabbi.
Good afternoon. My name is Kashmir Brown, and I'm a student pursuing a Master's of Divinity and a proud UC Berkeley alum. I was also born and raised in California. I grew up in San Francisco, and all too many times I would see people sleeping on park benches, underneath freeways, in makeshift tents, and unclosed doorways. We are the richest country in the nation, in the world, excuse me. And yet we continue to cut programs that help housing, living wages, education. It is unacceptable that over 3 million people live in shelters, transitional housing, and tent cities, as if the right to housing is an option. It is unacceptable that we have students owing $1 trillion in debt because they have crushing debt when they're trying to pursue education. It is unacceptable that we have 62 million people working for less than living wages. And over half this country, these states have passed laws that refuse to allow minimum wages to be raised to living wages. This is unacceptable, and we demand better. Housing is a right. Education is a right. Living wages is a right because everybody has a right to live. Shalom. I want to introduce you to my friends because this is a fusion movement. This is Imam Abdullah Antepli and Reverend Nancy Petty, and we come together from North Carolina. We stand here for the Poor People's Campaign and for human rights for all Americans. Rights to education, to living wages, to housing. They form the bedrock of our country. They build and sustain democracy. My heritage teaches that we have an obligation to support and fortify one another. The book of Leviticus instructs, if your neighbor becomes poor, then you shall strengthen him. Be he a stranger or a settler, he shall live with you. Commentator Rashi teaches, this can be compared to a burden on a donkey. While it is still on the donkey, one person may support and lift and hold it up. But if the donkey is allowed to fall, not even five people can lift it. When we educate our populace, we assure a living wage,
when everyone has fair housing in our country, we lift those in need and we lift our country. When we fail to assure these safeguards, when we let our brothers and sisters fall, not even five times the resources can restore them. So raise your hand if you believe in living wages for everyone. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I believe in living wages.
I believe in living wages.
Raise your hand if you believe in education for all. Yeah. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I believe in education for all. Now raise your hand one more time and tell me if you believe everybody deserves fair housing. Everybody has a right to live.
Everybody has a right to live.
Give it up. You can tell it. You saw the rabbi, the imam, and the Christian minister standing together in solidarity. Something's happening. And on this campaign, we also believe in something Dr. King and many others talked about, and that is a basic guaranteed income. If banks are too big to fail, then people are too important to fail. People should not be dying on our streets in the richest nation in the world. And we know that not paying a people a living wage and undermining union rights and cutting social safety nets for the poor in this country, the wealthiest country in the nation in terms of money, is unconscionable. It is a moral sin, and it is a violation of our Constitution's promise to establish justice. When we have these realities of 250,000 people dying, and I know today some say, well, we've stood out here an hour. But imagine what it living all day outside for 24 hours. Imagine having to run, worry about health care 24 hours a day. Imagine working at a job that doesn't pay you a living wage day in and day out. Imagine not even having a basic income and not knowing how you're going to feed your children. We have to have a people in this country that are willing to stand as long as it takes and organize as long as it takes and fight as long as it takes. When the Supreme Court handed down today a 5-4 decision that begins to take us backwards on voting rights, and they're expecting one on labor rights, and we're seeing happening in this country now what we haven't seen since 1883, when the Supreme Court overturned the Civil Rights Act of 1875. It is unconscionable. It is a moral sin. It is a violation of the promises to establish justice. This weekend I heard a Trump advisor say that there was a special place in hell for those who challenged Trump on trade. Well, I don't usually talk a lot about hell, but let me tell you what the Bible actually says about hell and special places, since he brought it up. James chapter 5 says that a final word to you arrogant rich. Take some lessons in crying. You'll need buckets of tears when the crash comes upon you. Your money is corrupt. Your fine clothes stink. Your greedy luxuries are a cancer in the gut of your nation. And it's destroying you from life, from your life from within. You thought you were piling up wealth, but what you have actually piled up is judgment. Why? Because of all the workers you have exploited. That's in the Bible, y'all. Because of all the works you have exploited and all the workers you have cheated, now your nation stands in judgment. The groans of the workers you used and abused are roaring in the ears of God, who is a master avenger. You've looted it up on earth. You've lived it up on earth. But all of you, I'll have to show for it. And you'll end up like a corpse if you don't change. In fact, what you've done is condemn and murder perfectly good persons who stand there and take it. You want to talk about a special place. There's a special place anytime politicians get up in the morning and all they can think to do is take people's health care. Oh, there's a special place. Whenever folk get up in the morning and all they can think of is how to block living wages and take care from the poor and the least of these. And that's why if we really love this nation and the people of this nation, we must have mass, nonviolent fusion, moral, civil disobedience. We must have mass voter mobilization. And we must have mass power building among the poor. And we must not stop until things change. I come to tell you as a preacher who has studied all the comparative religions that what we're seeing today is not just left policies and right policies and conservative policies and liberal policies. In the theological tradition, it is sin. It is a form of wickedness when the greedy take and take and take and take from the needy and the poor. Now, I didn't use the word wickedness. Nancy, help me, Rabbi. Where's my rabbi? I wasn't the one that used it. But since these people always want to bring preachers up here to bless their unjust action, and they got Bibles all over the Capitol, and they're always putting their hand on the Bible when they get ready to swear themselves and all that, well, you have messed up now because you got some folk in a movement that know what the Bible really says. And so we are here today to say, if you're going to keep lifting up the Bible and talking about God and talking about what's in the Scripture, then we're going to make sure you know what's in it. The Bible says in one of the great texts of the Jewish tradition, Isaiah 58, it says, the question a nation asked was, why have we fasted and you've not seen? Why the nation said, why have we prayed and kept on praying and God, it seems like stuff is not coming together. Why is it? And God answers through the prophet and said, this is the reason. Because on the day of your worship services, you take pleasure in exploiting your labor. In other words, you pray one thing with your mouth, but you do another thing with your policies. And that's called lying. That's called hypocrisy. In fact, it goes on to say, indeed, you fast, you worship, but you worship strife and you worship debate. And you strike people with the fist of wickedness. And you were, and God said, that's not the kind of religiosity I want. That's not the kind of fasting I want. You think fasting is just going in and bowing down your head privately in a worship service and acting all sorrowful? You think that's religion? You think that's acceptable to the Lord? You think you can fool God with that? No. God says, if you want to really please me, loose the bands of wickedness. Now, in Hebrew, that's translated, pay people what they deserve. That's what it means in Hebrew. Am I right, Rabbi? It means loose the bands of wickedness means pay people what they deserve because it's wicked to work the hell out of people and then don't pay them what they deserve. It says, undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. You want to know what God considers religion? Share your bread with the hungry. And that's how you become a good nation in God's eye. That's how you will become a nation that can repair the breaches that stand between justice for some and justice for all. When a nation looses the bands of wickedness, and pay people what they deserve. This is in the Bible. Stop blaming the poor. Stop playing religion and quoting creeds. If you didn't mean what's in the Constitution, you shouldn't have written it. Loose the bands of wickedness. Stop lying and saying America doesn't have enough resources. If you can find a $2 trillion tax cut, you can find the resources for everybody to have health care and have a living wage. And so if we want this nation to be seen as good in the sight of God, as good in the sight of the divine spirit, then we've got to cry loud, and spare not. We've got to be a part of breaking these bands of wickedness, injustice, and racism and systemic policies that drive poverty. We have to set the nation free. And I heard a friend of mine, he's dead, but I heard him in a book. He was gay, but he's a powerful brother. And he said something like this in the 1930s, in the middle of traumatic times, that still has relevancy today to us. Oh, let America be America again. The land that has never been yet and yet must be. The land where every person is free. The land that is mine, the poor man's, the Indians, the Negroes, me. Who made America, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain, must bring back our mighty dream again. Talk, Langston. Sure, Langston Hughes said, call me any ugly name you choose, but the steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again. America, America, oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath that America will be. Is there anybody out there that will declare right here and right now that I'm going to do everything in my power to make America what it ought to be? Make America what it ought to be. Make America what it ought to be. So it's time for us now to do our action at 3 o'clock. All of those who have had the armbands on, it's time to line up as we're ready to go. Those of you that are going to be witnesses, thank you. Remember June 23rd, all roads lead to Washington, D.C. at 10 o'clock for our call to action. Not the end of a movement, but the beginning of a movement. Would you part the ways? There is a song that we play. It's entitled, Make Them Hear You. Make Them Hear You. As Liz and I come down and the other clergy members come down. Is there anybody that's got a flag in this crowd? We reclaim it.
Was our battle man, how Jesus was denounced. We will make them hear you. Make them hear you. You can say to those who blame us for the way we chose to fight that sometimes there are battles that are more than black or white. And I could not put down my sword when justice was my right. Make them hear you. Go out and tell the story to your daughters and your sons. Make them hear you. Make them hear you. And tell them in the struggle we were not the only ones. Make them
hear you. Your
sword can be a sermon or the power of the pen. Teach every child to read, and then my brothers men will justice be demanded by 10 million righteous men. Make them hear you.
Another form of voter suppression. And what's ugly about that is the reason we got to that decision was by blocking an Obama nominee in a way that hasn't been done since the Civil War. And then, so you stole a Supreme Court office, stole a judgeship, and now that judgeship that you stole is being used to render 5-4 decisions to undermine voting rights. Every American should be terribly concerned about what we're seeing happening in this country and the undoing of the very foundations of our nation.
Congressman Barber, how many times have you been arrested in this Poor People's Campaign?
Three, along with Reverend Dr. Liz Gill Harris. Three, but you know, I think more about the people are being arrested every day from the horrors of poverty and the horrors of not having health care, whose minds and bodies can hardly function because of the stress that's going on, while politicians are getting more money, while politicians in essence get free health care, because we pay for their health care, the best health care in the capital, and yet they don't want the people that elected them, they don't want the people that elected them to have the same things that they have. They raise their salaries all the time, but then they want to block living wages and say it'll cost too much. That's what I worry more about. And what we're worried about is arresting the attention of the nation.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. President Trump is in Singapore right now for the U.S.-North Korean summit. Any last words?
Well, it's deeply concerning to have a president that says he can know in 1 minute how somebody is thinking, who's more interested in tearing up the country and using boldness and brashness and this whole false notion of making America great again, and America is the greatest. Theologically, we can't agree with that because that's our foundation says only God is the greatest. I'm troubled, but again, he is joining the attitude of strong men and strong women around the world. This is not just an American problem, but it's a problem in our world. And that's why poor people and working people are standing up all over the world. We have more than 30 countries that have contacted us now about what they can do. I'm headed to the Global Unity Labor Council in Liverpool, and Liz is headed to Geneva in a couple of weeks. This thing has to grow because this kind of hard-nosed autocratic leadership does not lead the world forward. It actually leads it back.
Can you tell us what's written on your side?
Jesus was a poor man. Jesus was a poor man. For those that wonder who claim that they support Jesus, Jesus was a poor man. And we need to stop saying that poverty is of God and it's automatic. Poverty is because of the decisions that society makes, the policies that society makes. And you can't say you love God and then you have what you need to help the poor and you don't give it to them. The Bible actually says that's a lie and a distortion. Well, he and others, it was many others, national welfare rights workers, Jewish rabbis, Cesar Chavez. The bottom line is, when we look at poverty, there are 140 million people living in poverty and low wealth. We have more poverty today than we had in 68. We're spending more money in war today than we spent in 68 in the height of the Vietnam War. The movement didn't end, it was assassinated. And that's why Dr. Liz Hill Harris, myself, and others have said we have to re-engage it, but not exactly the same way. They came to D.C. We're all over the country. And we're launching a movement, not ending the movement. And we're building coalitions of people of every race, creed, color, and sexuality who said we're going to build a multi-year campaign to change the narrative, to shift the voting in this country, the voter mobilization, and to be a power from among the poor. So we're inspired by Dr. King and others, but what we also know is this is not a commemoration, because the last thing you do with a prophetic movement is commemorate it. What you have to do is reach down in the blood, pick it up, and re-engage it. And that's what this is.
We're here from BJS. What do millennials have to understand about poverty today?
That there are found that the majority of people that are poor are children and women and the disabled and white, that there are 13 million poor children in this nation today. That is unconscionable, that the laws and the policies that are being passed today are really going to hurt people 10 and 15 and 20 years down the road. And that's why millennials need to be involved now, and they are, in this movement. They also have to recognize that millennials have always been a critical part of the movement. And so that's why we're excited that everybody is engaged. Millennials, older people, young people. We can't have false dichotomies. We need everybody in the battle.
Easily,
because what happens is you begin to show people that those who promote systemic racism like voter suppression and attacks on the indigenous community and attacks on the Latinos, if you look at their voting records, they are the same ones who are against union, the same ones who are against living wages, the same ones who are against health care, the same ones who are against environmental justice, the same ones who promote militarism. So when people began to see that those who are extreme and want to go backwards are the same, that unites us, because it understands we need an intersectional response to interlocking injustices. It already has. People have been fighting for years, and people are long-term. We're building from the bottom up. People are committed. It's not led by just us. It's led by people, impacted people who have to live these realities. So they can't stop. Their backs are against the wall. They can't stop. So it's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of must. It's a matter of duty. Over 2,000 people across the country, and over tens of thousands have organized, and we don't know exactly how many. You know, we say one person's constitutional rights violated is enough, but there's never been a movement where this many people have done nonviolent civil disobedience simultaneously all the same day around issues across the country. It's building. It's building. Thank you. Let me pay attention to this street. Which way is it? Supreme Court. Okay, I'm good, yeah. I'm let you do it. I'm talked out.
Poor People's Campaign. Poor People's Campaign.
Who's that living wage? What do we want? All right, two by two.
Living wages. Living wages.
Move over just a little bit.
What do we want?
Living wages.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Living wages.
When do we want them?
Now.
What do we want?
Living wages.
When do we want them?
Now.
Housing rights.
Now.
Housing rights.
Now.
What do we want?
Housing rights.
When do we want them?
Now. Education.
What do we want?
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
What do we want?
wages.
Living wages.
Go on the sidewalk.
Living wages. Living wages.
Staying on the
street.
What do we want?
Education.
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 What do we want?
Living wages.
We're just trying to, like, keep this clear.
What do we want? Education.
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
What do we want?
Now.
Education.
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
When do we want it?
Now.
Housing rights.
Housing rights.
What do we want?
Housing rights.
What do we want?
Housing rights.
What do we want?
Now.
Oh,
shit.
Labor rights. What do we want?
Labor rights.
When do we want it?
Come on, y'all.
Labor rights.
What do we want?
Labor rights.
What do we want?
Labor rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
Living wages.
Living wages.
What do we want?
Living wages.
What do we want?
Living wages.
When do we want it?
Now.
Living wages!
Living wages!
What do we want?
Living wages!
What do we want?
Living wages!
When do we want it?
Now!
Education!
Education!
What do we want?
Education!
What do we want?
Education!
When do we want it?
Now!
Education!
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 What do we want?
Education!
When do we want it?
Now!
Living wages!
Living wages!
What do we want?
Living wages!
What do we want?
Living wages!
When do we want it?
Now!
Living wages!
Living wages!
Living wages!
Living wages!
What do we want?
Living wages!
When do we want it?
Now!
Voting rights!
Voting rights!
Voting rights!
Voting rights!
What do we want?
Voting rights!
When do we want it?
Now!
Voting rights.
Voting rights. Voting rights.
What do we want?
Voting rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Voting rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Voting rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Voting rights.
Watch me live.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Voting rights.
Turn this way.
When do we want it?
Now.
John.
Living wages.
Living wages.
Go down.
Wages.
Now, turn to the right. This way.
What do we want?
Liz, come this way.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Living wages.
What do we want?
Living wages.
What do we want?
Living wages.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Living wages.
What do we want?
Living wages.
What do we want?
Living wages.
When do we want it?
Now.
Housing rights.
Housing rights.
Housing rights.
What do we want?
Housing rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
Education.
Education.
What do we want?
What
do
we want? Education.
What do we want?
Education.
When do we want it?
Now.
Education.
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
What do we want?
Education.
When do we want it?
Now.
Health care.
Health care.
When
do we want?
Health care.
When do we want?
Health care.
When do we want it?
Now.
Labor rights.
Labor rights.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now.
Labor rights.
Labor rights.
Labor rights.
Labor rights.
Living wages.
Living wages.
Labor rights.
Labor rights.
Living wages.
Living wages.
Lift the poor.
Lift the poor.
Help the poor.
Help the poor.
Help the hungry.
Help the hungry.
Treat the people.
Treat the people.
Like the people.
Like the people.
Treat the people.
Treat the people.
Like the people.
Like the people.
Health care.
Health care.
for everybody.
Everybody.
Health care.
Health care.
For everybody.
Everybody.
Health care.
Health care.
For everybody.
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 Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
The poor.
The poor.
Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
To live.
The sick.
The sick.
Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
To live.
The workers.
The workers.
Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
To live.
Puerto Ricans. Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
To live.
Immigrants.
Immigrants.
Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
To live.
Native Americans.
Native Americans.
Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
To live.
The broken. Have a right.
Have a right.
To live.
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 Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Free the people.
Free the people.
Lift the people.
Lift the people.
Pay the people.
Pay the people.
Cure the people.
Cure the people.
Help the people.
Help the people.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
Has a right.
To live.
To live.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Has a right.
To live.
To live. Everybody.
Everybody
has a right. To live.
To live.
To live. To live.
We are
not illegal.
They are
illegal.
We are
not wrong.
They are
what's wrong.
This is
what democracy
looks like.
That is
what
hypocrisy
looks like.
We are the people.
We are
spread out, spread out. We are the people. We are the people. We will never stop. We will never stop.
We will
never quit.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Labor rights. Labor rights.
Workers
have a right to live.
The poor
have a right to live.
The
sick
have a right
to live.
Everybody.
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 Has a right
to live.
We will
not quit.
We will
not quit.
We will
not give up.
We will
not give up.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Health care.
Living wages.
Union rights.
Lift the poor.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Right here.
Right now.
Right here.
Right now.
We will
never
turn back.
We will
never
give up.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
It's time
to turn around.
It's time
to turn around.
It's time
to turn around.
America,
it's time
to turn around.
Everybody
has a right
to live.
Everybody. Everybody
has a right
to live
right here,
right now,
and before
this campaign fails.
We'll all
go down
in jail
before
this campaign
fails.
We'll all
go down
in jail
because everybody
got a right
to live.
Ain't gonna let nobody
turn you around.
Ain't gonna let
nobody
turn you around. I'm gonna keep on
walking,
keep on talking, marching up freedom. Everybody ain't gonna let
nobody
turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Let nobody. Can't do it. Too much at stake. I appreciate you doing what you're doing, but I can't stop. I can't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking. Keep on. Don't stop. Keep on a walking,
walk.
Keep on a talking.
You're not moving.
I'm on the sidewalk now,
yeah,
brother.
Now you are.
We're good.
Right.
Thank you, we love you! 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 Thank you, we love you!
Thank you, we love you! Thank you, we love you! Thank you, we love you! Thank you, we love you!
Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people, cause the power of the people don't stop.
We're standing back here.
What do we want? Voting rights. When do we want them?
Now!
What do we want?
Voting rights!
When do we want them?
Stay back, stay back, stay back.
What do we want?
Voting rights!
When do we want them?
Now!
If we don't get them,
shut it down!
If we don't get them,
shut it down!
If we don't get them,
shut it down!
We ask you to be with us. We ask you to embolden us. We ask you to struggle with us. Because we have read your sacred texts from all the world's traditions. Texts that say that our powers that be are denying the rights of the poor.
This is the Supreme Court of the United States Police. You're in violation of Title 40. If you do not leave the ground, you will be arrested.
And women their prey. We have read your sacred texts of the world's traditions.
Yes.
Texts that say that we're all each other's keepers.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have read the sacred texts that say that the workers you've exploited and cheated cry out to you.
Yes.
Their cries have reached the ears of God.
Yes.
Holy God, God of many names.
Yes.
For many things, for many people.
Yes.
Your people are hurting.
Yes.
Your people are suffering.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your people are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And in segregated schools. And in low-wage jobs. But we know that you've heard the cry of your people.
Yes.
Our cries have reached your ears. And you have strengthened us.
Yes.
To bring your reign, a reign of justice, a reign of peace, a reign of mercy, a reign of prosperity for all, to all your children. We know that you cry out when your people cry out.
Yes.
We know that you hurt when your people hurt. We know that when one of your children dies because they do not have health care, that is not okay with you. That is not okay with us.
That's right.
We know that you believe, that we believe, that everybody's life is sacred. That we're all on this earth to bring about justice. To ensure that everybody has what they need.
Yes.
When God's son Jesus walked this earth,
yes,
he set up free healthcare clinics.
Mm.
He healed people's diseases.
Yes.
He fed those that were hungry. He visited those that were lonely and captive. And he said that which you do,
this is the Supreme Court of the United States Police, you're in violation of Title 40. If you do not leave
unto me,
you will be arrested.
We are here, God, because another law came down today. A law that denies the very fundamental rights of your people. The right to be free. The right to be free.
Yes.
And when our rights to be free are violated, our housing rights are, our labor rights are, our education rights are. And so we moral leaders, poor people, impacted people. With you on our side, in front of this Supreme Court, do declare that we will continue to do your work. We have read the scriptures.
Members of the press, be on the sidewalk without permission from the Supreme Court Public Information Office. On the sidewalk, please, if you're a member of the press.
How are you doing this week?
Huh?
How are you doing this
week? All right, bro.
Around the country. And have just held, or have been holding, an extended prayer. You can see Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, Presbyterian pastor, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, continuing to pray in the microphone with the remainder of the faith leaders have been held in prayer. We've been asked by Capitol Police to leave all members of the press to be on the sidewalk. And we have a huge crowd of supporters who have been asked to stay throughout the remainder of the time.
Hi, folks. If you're members of the press, I need you to go down to the sidewalk.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm not members of the press.
All right.
Folks watching the live stream, if you could comment, how is the Poor People's Campaign showing up in your state capital? How do you plan to get involved? What is Spirit moving to do in this moment where there are increasing attacks on workers, where people are not able to make living wages? Where there's no place in the United States where you can pay rent on a two-bedroom apartment on just a third of your salary, which is a living wage. Where students in this country are saddled with $3 trillion worth of debt. Like, What is spirit moving you to do?
Sidewalk.
I'm not a member of the church. The guy right there is okay for the moment.
If you're just joining us, Reverend Hawkins, director of the Presbyterian Church USA Office of Public Witness, is risking arrest along with seven other faith leaders with the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for Moral Revival on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. In this very building, we were just handed down a 5-4 decision from Supreme Court justices that further restricts voting rights in the case of the Supreme Court of Ohio. And these faith leaders are here today to insist that an attack on voting rights is an attack on poor people everywhere, an attack on working class people. They're also here with the anticipation of a decision on Janus.
Hi, sir. Are you live streaming?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you go step down there since you're streaming live?
Nobody else up here live?
Oh, I see that you got a hat and everything else. Yeah, you look like you're a member of the press, sir.
Can but I'm not. But I'm telling you, I'm not a member of the press. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I'm not.
What are you going in to go observe the court today?
No.
Then why are you in the line to go in and observe the court?
Because I'm observing this.
Yeah, but this is a line to go inside the building.
Okay, but I'm observing this.
So you can observe from down there. This is a line to enter the building. This is not a line to observe them.
Okay, but am I doing anything wrong by standing
here? Yes, you're in a line to go into the building. These people are going to the building.
Oh, okay, but I'm not. What law am I breaking?
These people are going in the building. Are you going in the building?
No.
Then please exit the line so people can go into the building.
Okay, they can. I'm not going to get in their way. I'm just
well,
asking.
You're in front of them.
Okay, I'll
just
go to
stand
the back
that's
the line.
Fine. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in this line, it is time to enter the building.
No, but this is the rule. We're not allowed to.
You told me to go to the back of the line. Now I got to go.
I'm sorry.
Are you equipment.
If you sit down to the sidewalk for us,
you got to be on the sidewalk,
yeah.
Sir.
And then what's it going to be after that?
You got to step on the sidewalk, sir. I'm sorry. I need to step on the sidewalk.
You go down
I'm
the
asking,
sidewalk.
I'm asking. Can you please step down?
Yeah. You can video down there.
You can go down there.
Everybody's got a right.
I'm sorry, too. But this is the
You were too super moving.
productive for
everyone.
Productive for everyone.
Is it on YouTube
already? Productive for everyone.
Come on, dude.
We'll be back! We'll be back! We'll be back!